And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Seven 55 is real with David O'Brien and Eric O'Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome to 7:55 is real, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm with my co-host Eric O'Flaherty, who is feeling it today after playing, what, how many softball games in 2 days, Eric?
9. My wife laughs at me. She thinks it's so lame.
Eric, you're too old to play 9 softball games in 2 days, man.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
How you feeling?
Not good. I'm supposed to play golf today, too.
A little banged up, are you?
Yeah.
You got to take a handful of greenies?
Ooh, I wish.
Go play more.
I'd be back in the game.
Well, we are at this. I swear, man, I've said it before. This team this season, there is never a dull moment with these Braves. They are 3.5 games ahead of the Phillies in first place because last night was a big one for them. The Phillies clutched up or anti-clutched up and lost it at the end to Colorado. Colorado got a couple of big homers in that game. Did you see that, man?
Those balls were torched, too.
Yeah, with 2 outs. Yep. And to think I wanted the Braves to get that dude.
Kennedy?
Yeah. Remember at the trade deadline? I'm like, yeah, that'd be a good addition to the bullpen. Oh, my God, they are booing his ass in Philly.
Yeah, I think Philly would be a tough place to struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's tough to struggle anywhere. You're always going to have an amount of haters, but certain fan bases are pretty vocal about it.
Philly and New York, Citi Field.
Yeah.
Shea Stadium, Citi Field are not the places.
Not the place you want to be.
Start out slow. So they lost, and then the Braves, and know that they all know what's going on because it's right there on the scoreboard, the out-of-town scoreboard and all these ballparks. It's right there in front of them. So they can see the Phillies lose late. And the Braves blow 3 leads last night. They had 3 guys with blown saves last night. And they come back and win in the 10th inning on Jacques Peterson's walk-off, 2-out. Bases loaded, oppo, single. Really kind of a stirring win. So much happened last night in that game. So they're 3.5 ahead of the Phillies. The Braves had 5 solo home runs in that game. Till Jocks hit, I think they had 1 hit with runner in scoring position.
I was watching that game. Like, I kept feeling like they were going to get back in it, you know, when they were down, but just solo homer after solo homer. But it was almost every time they gave up the lead or got behind, came right back with a homer. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was a fun game to watch. I don't know how much you can count on that strategy, but
yeah,
it's a fun one to watch.
They are the last few weeks, after going so much of the season where they didn't win these type of games, the last few weeks they've won a whole lot of them, like they had the previous years. You know, they've won – like last night's game was one of those type of games where
– that they would have lost early on.
Yeah, lost for more than half, first 100 games of the season. So they had there was some big stuff last night, but some of the same guys, all the newcomers, man, are just all of them are playing great for this team. I know Rich Rod gave it up last night. 2 nights in a row, Rich Rod's given up a go-ahead home run after pitching so well in the first month plus that he got here after the trade. But, I mean, the first one was to Soto the night before, so I'm not going to ding him for that too much, but – you know, you talked about him. He basically does it with one pitch. I mean, he goes out there and throws 93, 94 mile an hour fastballs. And if he misses a little bit, there's not a whole lot of margin for error.
Well, even when you watch him when he's going well, he makes mistakes. He's just got one of those fastballs that guys can't square up, you know, whether it's got late life to it or really good spin on it that makes it, you know, kind of have that little bit of hop that hitters get under. But when you watch a guy like that, you know, I mean, I was kind of the same way in my career when I had that sinker locked in. Everybody knew I was throwing it, and you get the ground balls 3 out of 4 times or whatever. But then once that sinker went away and I didn't have a backup plan, it was like you just get torched. And I think that's kind of the boat that he's in, where if he winds up going out there and doesn't have his fastball, you know, that means they're going to be able to square those ones up that they hit. Because those two that they hit might have been foul balls when he's locked in. And it might not be a different velocity. And that's what makes it so tough to pitch like that sometimes, is you find out the hard way you don't have that pitch today. You know, it feels the same when you're warming up. It feels the same, you know, the catcher sees it, it looks good, and then it's in the seats. So, and I mean, I think that's kind of what happened to him the last two nights.
And as a reliever, unlike as a starter, where you find out you don't have that pitch early in the game, you make adjustments and go with other stuff, and the catcher works with you. As a reliever, it's like, oh, Gary, fuck, you gave up again.
Shit,
I blew it. Gave up another homer.
Yeah, and it. So, terrible, I mean, that's why it's tough to not have that room for error for him, but
yeah.
That's kind of how it goes as a reliever. You know, I mean, you need to be locked in from that first pitch, and you don't have any time to really feel it out.
Matzik and him both have had little blips here lately. Matzik had the couple of games where you're like, uh-oh, is he, when the streak ended and he gave up, you know, the four-run in and a couple of one-run spots. But he's looked really good last time or two out. So it's always nice to see him snap back into it, because you worry from his past, you know, with whether he was – when he goes on a roll, you know. The first time he has a bad game, you start to worry. It's just natural. But he's looked really good last time or two out. So, and Luke gave up last night, gave up a run. So it's going to happen. But when their teammates pick him up like they did last night, because the bullpen carried him for a while. And last night, you know, the start wasn't great. Bullpen wasn't great. But the offense just kept hammering home runs when they had to.
And that's how I've seen this team ever since that series in St. Louis, when Riley hit that home run to take the lead. You know, the first half of the season, it felt like when they got down late, they stopped scoring. They didn't get back. They didn't claw their way back into games. Knowing your offense can get a win out of that game when the whole pitching staff was off last night.
Yeah.
That's been the difference for me in the whole second half, is they've won so many more of those games.
And even the defense was off a little bit last night. I mean, Ozzie makes two errors, charged with two errors. The second one could have been – Freddie should have caught that throw.
Yeah, he catches that.
But, yeah, he catches that. But that was a big play. And they kept and yet the offense kept coming back and picking him up. So so unorthodox or so uncharacteristic of Ozzie to make any error, you know, in a game.
Made two big ones.
But the you know, people get all over Will Smith, and I understand, because he can be – you can pull your hair out watching the guy. But last night, man, Will Smith, you know, they get on him last night for giving up the triple. But Jock Peterson said after the game, I got to catch that ball. You know, it's not an easy catch.
Really tough.
But it's a catch that, you know.
He makes. That,
yeah. I mean, he makes. I mean, he caught it, hit his glove right before the wall, and dislodges or never really caught it. So – and then he gets a would-be double play grounder. He still gets out of the inning if they make that double play. So I'm not going to – you know, people jump on him. They go, there's certain guys they hate, they're going to jump on regardless of the outcome. So, but if he catches that ball in center, or if they turn the double play, it gets either out of the save. Yeah. It's over. So, but I think the important thing was last night how they just kept coming back and how this team just found a way to win last night. And the fact that they've got so many guys in this lineup capable of hitting the ball out of the park is I can't remember when they've had a team with quite this many guys. They've had guys with teams that have had as many home runs, but not as many guys capable of hitting 20.
Well, you're just never out of the woods, you know. And I mean, I think that's when the 7 and 8 hole guys can hit a solo shot and you're in a close game.
Yeah,
and then the lineup flips over. You got a pinch hitter coming up. Adrianza hit a pinch hit homer the other day, right? Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that, it just makes it – I think that's what was missing early on. We've talked about it, was you'd get to that bottom half of the lineup, and it wasn't that the guys couldn't hold their weight. It was just that it was going to take two or three hits to hurt you. Now, I mean, you walk one guy, there's the fear of a two-run homer. So it's just a different pressure they're able to put on the pitching staff.
I mean, they're platooning guys. They're mixing and matching in the outfield, and all of the guys they're using can hit the ball out.
Yeah.
Eddie Rosario, he hits a ball out two nights ago that looked like it was 6 inches off the ground. That was a Vlad Guerrero homer. He went down and got that and pulled it a ton. Yeah.
That was a joke of us. I don't know how he hit that ball out.
I saw the replay of that.
You don't get that homer up very often.
And then you got Jock Peterson. You got Soler, who's just been an absolute force for the Braves. A power, and he draws a ton of walks, man. And then Doovie, all he's doing is – second in the league in homers and leading the league in RBIs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, it's hard to believe you lose Acuña, but because of the moves you made, not a reflection of Acuña, obviously. You lost a superstar, one of the best players in the game. But the team is better right now because of all the guys you added to replace him, that you don't make all those moves if you don't lose him.
Well,
you
and
don't make
just,
that multiple moves.
No, I don't think they do. Maybe one guy, you know, maybe one or two. But, you know, I mean, I think that just sums up baseball as a whole is you know, you can't just go get Mike Trout and win a championship. Like, if you get LeBron in the NBA, you got like a 50% chance of going to the finals.
Right.
And it's not a knock on Acuña, you know. I mean, they'd obviously be better if they still had him and these guys. But
yeah.
Getting three quality at-bats in your lineup, guys that can do damage, hit for power, you'll have good at-bats. I think it the lineup depth kind of outdoes what Acuña was able to do in one spot of the lineup.
They added four guys.
Which,
including Peterson, who they got right after Acuña got hurt. But if you'd have told me that all four of these guys are going to contribute big time, I'd have been like, there's no way. I was thinking one or two of them will do nothing, probably get released, you know? Yeah. You know?
Well, that's not how it normally goes.
Yeah. Like Rosario, I thought was kind of an afterthought, but he's far from that. This guy, it's easy to forget. This guy's under 30 years old, and he was an all-star not long ago.
Yeah.
So. And Soler, 46 homers a couple of years ago, but he was so bad, you know, earlier in the year that people think he's done. This guy's a menace up there. And by the way, I don't know if it's evident on TV unless he's standing beside somebody normal size, but this guy's close to Giancarlo Stanton size.
Yeah,
I believe that. He's massive, massive.
I've been shocked with that bats he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd see a guy that big and you know he can hit for power and he's got a bad average. You think he's just going up there swinging for the fence. But even the other day, I mean, he battled and shot that ball through the right side late. He's taking some walks, you know, that game in St. Louis.
Big walk last night.
I can't remember the reliever that was walking everybody was St. Louis, but he went up there and made that dude work. I mean, over and over, I've just seen good at-bats out of him that I didn't really expect. And
walked the yard that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was a sign early on that he was going to do it. But I think it was shocking at the time when he drew that walk. And now it wouldn't be because this guy's got a ton of walks.
Yeah.
And for a guy that can hit the ball 500 feet, it's impressive, man. I like him, man. You can't bring them all back, obviously, with Acuña coming back. But I would definitely try to get at least two of these guys, bring them back. I think you've got to have – to me, Duvall's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And you pick up that option, but I'd want at least Soler or Peterson back. And damn, it'd be nice if you could bring both of them back, but it's hard. With the DH, you could, because Soler could be your DH.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody really knows what the new CBA is going to entail. You know, what kind of budget and spending, how that's going to affect everything, what's going to go on with that. But if you can find a way, I mean, I love what Jock's done, just the vibe he brings.
Oh, everything,
it's just a winning vibe, it feels
like. No doubt.
Seems like one of those dudes that you can't look at with a straight face in the clubhouse, just making everybody smile. And then Soler, you know, I don't know him, but his at-bats and his power
great
and
guy.
The presence
everybody
he brings to
him.
The lineup. Yeah, I mean,
upbeat,
it just seems.
Disposition. Everybody loves the guy. Raves about him. And we'll get to Ozuna here in a bit, but right now that's such a cloudy situation. I mean, I'm fully anticipating he's going to get suspended at least half a season, though. So,
yeah.
And I still – he's owed so much money, but I still think the Braves are going to find a way to get rid of him. But I just don't know. I mean, you got to take all these things into account when you think about next year, how many outfielders you can have and all that, and the DH situation. So, Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
You kind of alluded to it, the clubhouse guys, but Stephen Vogt last night. This guy had not had the veteran catcher, 36 years old, had not had an extra base hit in his first 24 games with the Braves. The guys love him. Great game caller. Good defensive catcher. Pitchers love throwing to this guy.
Yep.
But he had not had an extra base hit. And this is a guy that hit 18 home runs years ago.
Oh, he raked with the A's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back-to-back years with the A's. He was he was like a 101 OPS plus guy for a three-year span. But yeah, he had 18 homers 1 year. But last night, after not hitting an extra base hit for 24 games with the Braves, he hits two homers last night. It was just one of those baseball, man. But he has two solo homers. And then in the seventh inning, he goes down in a heap and in pain, obvious pain. And it was hard to tell what he did because it didn't look like he twisted anything. But later we got an explanation for that because Snit said that he told him, "I popped my hip."
Yeah.
Which, in scrambling for that ball at some point,
hey, he did something.
And these things happen when guys get older. It's weird things happen that don't happen when they're 26, you know. But we haven't got an update yet, but it didn't sound good. I mean, you don't pop your hip like you do your shoulder and just pop it back in place, but we'll see. But it's a shame because what a night for him. And it got started before the game even began because this guy pulled out. If people Google Stephen Vogt and referee impersonation, if you Google that YouTube or Chris Farley impersonation, he does that too.
Either as Matt, one.
Yeah, yep.
Matt the Foley. Down by the river.
The Matt Foley impersonation that he does. Chris Farley is Matt Foley, motivational speaker. This guy is a comedic talent. I mean, like he could do it for a living, I think. He's that funny. But his impersonation of referees is so spot on and funny. And he does it with the referee thing on and like Chris Farley with big pillows under his shirt and all that. So it really adds something to it. But there's some video of him with Oakland doing it on the field out there. But he brought that out last night for the first time to the whole team before the game in the clubhouse. And Jock Peterson said, and Snit said, the whole team was just in stitches. Everybody was watching.
Yeah.
So then they go out on the field and they're laughing, you know, they're just upbeat and everything. And then he has two home runs. So, but what can a guy like that over the course of a season, having a guy like that in your clubhouse who can pull out stuff like that at any time and just lighten the mood in a clubhouse do for a team?
Well, it gets redundant, you know, and then you go through
the spurt. Playing the game does.
Yeah, day in, day out, you're doing the same grind, and it's easy to fall into this trap of just going to work, you know, and you forget to have fun and loosen it up. But, you know, tough road trip, you come home, you're splitting with the Nationals so far, you need a big win. I mean, I think it's really tough in his position when you haven't done much, you know, and you're not one of the key guys yet, and you're trying to get your feet set in the clubhouse first, you know, get your personality known. So it's not like he's just going to roll in day one and start blowing a whistle, you know, hey, clown's here.
You
want to get to know the guys and everything first, but just those things, man, it seems corny when you see a team and fans sometimes get mad or coaches get mad when they see the guys laughing and having fun and you are playing bad, but sometimes that's what you need is just to get the whole team together laughing and having a good time. Then you roll out to BP and just that little bit of mixing it up that day kind of lightens the mood and gets everybody having fun. I mean,
yeah,
they always say laughter is the best medicine, but you got to pick your spot, you know? I mean,
yeah,
it's really hard to pick that spot, but he's good at it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point about him not doing it until now because, like, yeah, the first day, some of the guys, even though some of them that know him, it wouldn't have been weird, but like some of the young guys might have been like, who's this old guy doing a stupid referee impersonation from SNL when I wasn't even, you know, when I was a toddler?
Yeah, they don't even know what it is. But even if you don't know that routine,
the referee one works anyway.
The referee one plays no matter what.
But and Matt Foley, too, even if you don't, I'd seen him on SNL.
It's still funny.
But not as funny.
Because he's just yelling. He's got a pillow stuffed up his shirt.
But the referee thing in the off last seasons. Night.
I think he reffed as a job. So he's got,
I didn't
so
know that.
He has it down and he gets real obnoxious and loud about it and calls it's technicals, hilarious. But he calls fouls on. So this is another good thing that works in the clubhouse is sometimes dudes will do stuff that's kind of irking their teammates. you know, like constantly being late or doing something selfish in the game, like swinging for the fence instead of getting a runner over, you know, little stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not picking up your balls in the cage, and he'll call fouls on everybody on the team for all the bullshit they've been doing. And it's a way to call guys out and hold them accountable and get everybody laughing at them. That's not like, you know, real aggressive and pisses them off. It just makes everybody laugh.
Yeah.
But even those little things, those little angles, it gets it out in the open. Like, you see how hard your teammates are laughing right now at what he just called a foul on you for? You know, everybody sees that you're doing. And that kind of gets guys in check too.
Yeah. And on the other hand, the other extreme of this is, I was talking on this last road trip, I was talking to a veteran clubhouse guy who's worked in a lot of clubhouses over the years. And he said there was a star player who will go unnamed, was on another team. He said this player just had this heavy vibe about him. It wasn't that he was a bad guy, but he had this heavy vibe, this sullen vibe some days.
Yep.
And he said, and he was the biggest star on the team. And he would come in the clubhouse some days, and it was like, it was death, because it would set the tone, it seemed like, for these impressionable guys. Would see him walk in, he's in a bad mood, whatever happened to him that day, maybe he's slumping or whatever, but he was just sullen. And he said that it set the tone.
It brings everybody down.
Yeah, and it had a way with it. So there's the opposite of these guys. We talk about clubhouse chemistry and how good a guy like a Jock Peterson is, who's just constantly upbeat, optimistic, you know, funny. But having a guy who's one of your big stars be, you know, a guy who comes in, you know, with just nasty and unapproachable or just sullen, or you're like, what the hell's wrong with him today?
Well, you just have to deal with them, you know? I mean, and then everything you do, if you're laughing in the clubhouse, you're wondering what so-and-so over there in the corner, what he's thinking, what he's going to say later, calling guys out. But, I mean, there's ways to do it, but being a dick is, it doesn't play much. But, you know, I mean, I've been in the bullpen with guys who, whether they realize it or not, and hopefully I never was one, but when they're not going well, they spend the first 3, 4, 5 innings bitching about the manager, bitching about how they're being used, bitching about they need days off. You see them get warmed up and they don't pitch and they throw a fit. Whether they realize it or not, all that stuff's kind of contagious. So, I mean, I think the best way to look at it is how many people you know that love their job and hate their boss?
Yeah.
Very few, right? Because if you have to deal with your boss and this is the big dog in the office or wherever you're at, I mean, it just sets a shitty vibe for the day in, day out. But people that love their job, they usually love their coworkers, love their boss. There's a good vibe in whatever they're doing for their living. And it's just like that with baseball. You're spending time with these people 24/7. It's like a family. And if somebody's just dumpy day in, day out, you know, no matter how hard you fight, you know, it rubs off on you in one way or another.
And if you have a guy like that in the clubhouse, you damn sure better have some others that can
overpower him. And that's the thing, though, is you got to have somebody big enough to call them out when they walk in dumpy. Right.
Like Hinsky.
Yeah. Well, Hinsky would call out anybody, you know, and that's why we always had great vibes on that team. Because if somebody came in, I mean, it happened to me my first year in pro ball. I was on this great group of guys, and I think I blew the game or gave up a 2-spot, but the team won. And I'm sitting there sulking in my locker. The whole team's partying. And I'm just sitting there in my locker, just looking at the ground, pissed off. Somebody says something to me. I give them a one-word answer, and I go grab my food, and I sit down all sad. And this guy, Rob Johnson, who's a catcher, great leader, he goes, "Oh, are you mad? Did you have a bad game?" You know, he started just really antagonizing me for it. And I got real pissed off and threw an even bigger fit and stormed out. But the next day I came back to the field, and I realized, like, you know, it's not about me. And I was bringing down that moment by being a turd and being selfish. And so you need somebody that'll call guys out when they act like that. And the problem in the big leagues is when somebody's so well established or getting paid so much, they feel this power where they can do whatever they want. And in some senses they can, but you got to have somebody on the team to tell them, like, "Hey man, clean it up. 'Cause you're killing the vibe. You know, we just had this big comeback win and you're over there sulking."
Yeah.
And you're a big influence on this clubhouse and a big influence on the team. Like, we need you to be better for everybody else. It's not all about you. So, I mean, that's another reason why you got to have more than a couple vets on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to, you know, championship teams that had guys that were total prima donnas, but they had enough other guys to offset that.
Keep them in check.
I think, and on the other hand, like, the Giants had their 3 world championships after Bonds left. And when Bonds was there, when he was the greatest player in the game, by far. He had basically a whole wall to himself in the clubhouse. Yeah. He had a lounge, a full recliner, and like four lockers there.
Yep. You know,
it was his, the whole side of the clubhouse was his, basically.
And how are you going to feel like a unit, you know, and root for each other and pull for each other when there's all of us, and then there's this guy, and he's the biggest guy, and it's all about him. You know, I mean, that's what makes it tough.
And when he's the king of the Galactic All-Stars at that time, I mean, just putting up unbelievable, unprecedented numbers. And you got younger guys, you know, some of the, you had some good players, but they were young. Who's going to call that guy out?
Yeah. And it goes like that too. You know, if you see guys skipping work, doing things because they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Then you got young guys that are wanting to work hard and be established so they can pull the same crap.
Right.
Sets the tone. Instead of seeing a guy like Freddie who just busts his ass day in, day out and say, that's, if I work my ass off, I can get into his shoes.
Yeah.
But when I get there, you know, I still want to do things right and work hard. I mean, it just leadership's important, man. It's not something that gets a lot of credit, but it's huge.
Markakis did that while all the years he was here. And then Freddie's done that all the time he's been here. And Freddie's not a big rah-rah guy. Doesn't do speeches and all that. He just goes out every day, comes in and goes out and plays. And the other infielders have done the same thing this year, you know? Not that they're all doing it just because of Freddie, but when your biggest star is out there doing it every day, you're not going to skip because you got a little bit of a sore, you know, whatever. You could still play.
Yep. You see Freddie Freeman picking up his balls at the end of BP, you know, in the cage. How am I not going to with 2 years in? I mean, it just sets a good example.
Adam Duvall hit his 34th home run last night, career high. He had 30. He had over 30 twice with the Reds. He had 33 one year. He had 34th home run last night. I mean, we still got 20-some games left. Leads the National League in RBIs, 99. That's his fourth consecutive game in which he's homered, and he also had his seventh straight game with an extra base hit, career high streak, and third longest in the majors right now of extra base hits. How about the Braves having two guys with four-game homer streaks in just over a week? Because Ozzie did that in his first four games after missing two with the knee thing. He came back, hit home runs in his first four games back, and basically handed the baton off to Duvall.
Yeah.
Because the streaks overlapped, I think. So, but Duvall right now, this guy, I mean, he's second in the NL in homers behind only Tatis. And the reason he leads the league in RBIs, 99. The next highest is 93, by the way. Ozzy and Jesus Aguilar each have 93. So there is a really good chance that he's going to lead the league in RBIs this year. But a big reason for that, Duvall leads the majors in home runs with runners on base, 22. So 22 of his 33 homers have been with runners on base. Salvi Perez, who has 40-some homers, he's second with 21. I think second in the National League is like 17. So he's got a big lead on that too with home runs with runners on base. Also leads the majors in slugging percentage with runners on base at 660. Second is Ozzy at 652. And Shohei Ohtani is third at 640. Mm. So, but you got a couple of guys right there that are getting it done with runners on base, man. Even though I know lately the Braves have struggled with runners in scoring position, those couple of guys that get it done in a big way with runners on base. Duvall turned 33 last week. He's in incredible shape. He's a diabetic, and he keeps himself so fit. He eats right. He works out. I mean, he's a big dude, deceptively big. People don't realize how big, muscular that dude is until they see him up close. He's a big dude with the legs. He gets that power from the
body. He doesn't wear that ugly jersey, does he?
No, he doesn't. Exactly. Exactly. But he turned 33 last week. I don't care. I'm making this guy a two-year contract offer, giving him some security because he's got the $7 million mutual option. And to me, it's a Braves. It's a no-brainer, obviously, that they pick that up. It's like a $3 million buyout, but it's a no-brainer to me they pick that up. But, I mean, if you're Duvall, he loves playing here, loves it. But somebody's going to offer this guy more than a $7 million contract when he's coming off a 33 homer. He's going to end up with close to 40 homers and 110, 115 RBIs.
Well, and you're thinking
solid D.
No, he's got a good arm. He throws well too, which is. But you know, I think last offseason was crazy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, last offseason, nobody knew what to expect. And there's a CBA coming up, but.
And yeah, and that's unexpected too. We don't know what's going to happen, but.
But I mean, I would think most of the team's financials have stabilized at this point. So I would expect him to get more of what he deserves this offseason and doing. I mean, you lead the league in RBIs.
Yeah. He shouldn't have to settle for another one-year deal.
No, they'd be smart to offer him at least bait him with something that's a slight discount and multi-year security. You know, who knows where his head's at, but 2 years, 20. I mean, that for me, did he take that? I mean, the team signed him, no thoughts about it.
Yeah. And a great teammate too. I mean, everybody loves Duvall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at minimum, I'm offering him 218. See if he's bite on that, you know, but. I mean, it's just crazy. You look at he's making – there's a guy that's having to play this year. He's playing for $2 million, and he's going to lead the league in RBIs.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to – I think the one thing that you think about with players is he's gone through a rough offseason now. He doesn't want to go back there.
Yeah, didn't sign until February.
There's definitely some leverage in offering him a fair deal now and him not wanting to go back on the market and sit at home and not even know where he's going until February. I mean, the players really value that.
And be in the situation he loves being in with the guys. You know, they've already re-signed a couple of these guys. He knows Freddie's probably going to be here next year. I mean,
and he hits in this park.
And he hits like crazy in this park. Yeah. So, no brainer to me. This guy's got to be on the team next year. So, by the way, his last 10 games, Duvall, he's 11 for 38, 289, double, triple, 6 homers, 12 RBIs, 842 slugging, and 1150 OPS. Dude, getting it done.
That'll play.
Yeah. Guys, let's take a quick break, and then we'll finish up the show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Ozuna situation briefly. There was a big development yesterday in this thing, this on never ending thing, it's saga, but it's not obviously not a never ending cause we are at least close to the criminal proceedings end of it. He agreed to a negotiated diversion program. He entered a diversion program yesterday wherein if in the next, it's a 6-month thing, but if he gets it all done in 3 months, it'll be then. They'll dismiss the charges, which are, you know, the felony charge is already dismissed after the video apparently showed that not what the police said was on the video because they dropped that charge to 2 misdemeanors. The misdemeanor charges will go away in 3 to 6 months when he does this 200 hours community service, anger management thing, yada, yada, all that stuff. Stuff he can do from home. He can actually, he only has to check in. It's supervised. They call it supervised.
Yeah.
I talked to his attorney yesterday. All he has to do is check in once a month. He can do it online. I mean, I don't know how that's supervised, but that's what they call it. So he could be done in 3 months. The whole, that has nothing to do with the MLB investigation though, which is ongoing. And as we've seen time and time again with the MLB in recent years, domestic violence is their one thing where they are better than all the other leagues as far as this being cut and dried. It's an agreement between the Players Association and MLB, this policy. So when they hand out suspicions, nobody really even fights them, these DV suspensions.
It's happening.
Yeah. Right. So I fully expect him to get suspended for half a season at least. I thought it might have been a year if he'd have gone forward and been convicted of these crimes. But this might play into that yesterday, and the fact that his attorney told me, what else is an attorney going to say? But his attorney told me the video shows nothing like what they described, and that he didn't think there was any way they could have gone forward with the charges. But on the other hand, he also didn't fight it and go to court and get innocent. So, I mean, he agreed to this. So, you know, I think there's a little on both sides there. But anyway, I don't think it changes a whole lot because I think he's still going to get suspended. And I think the Braves still want this to go away because they're not the type of organization that just has guys that with the stain on their reputation that bring them in. They got rid of their third baseman after his domestic violence thing. Now, he was not a good player either, obviously. So they didn't, you know. But I think the Braves are going to try to make it go away, even if it means they have to eat some of the contract or take on another bad contract or an expiring contract, something. They're going to have to get creative, but I think they're going to try to make it go away.
Well, from a teammate standpoint, I'd want to see that video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if the video is not bad, then put it out there.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody can really cast judgment. Yeah. I mean, in his hand, it's a good sign that all those charges were reduced or not. You know, he didn't get the felony and all that. But, you know, from a teammate standpoint, if I'm going to play beside a guy, he can't be doing the stuff the cops said he did. And apparently the video showed he didn't. So I don't know why you wouldn't put that video out there. I guess, you know, it's an embarrassment and it's a stain on your reputation either way. But
yeah, because something happened. They got a 9/11 call and his wife said he tried to kill her, all that stuff. I mean, something happened. But just not, you know, it's just apparently exaggerated. But we don't know. I mean, we don't know it was exaggerated until we see the video. But the fact that they dropped the felony.
It's a good sign for him.
Right. It's just there will be a team that will be willing to take a guy like that. I just don't think the Braves, at least in the past, have not been such a team. You know, some teams have more of the whole family vibe thing. They want kids in the crowd. Some places have just more of a
business.
And a button down kind of, you know, family vibe going than other teams do, which are just, not to use the Yankees and say they're bad. They're a bad bunch of guys because they're not. But the Yankees can absorb a guy like that, and they are so big.
Yeah.
And their brand is so strong.
Nothing can stop them.
Right. You know, they bring back Aroldis Chapman. Okay, if he gets booed or whatever, it doesn't. Nobody thinks about that now when he goes out there and pitches. And
you look at the fan base, too. You know, if I feel like New York fans
fan base
would forgive you for murder if you got a 1-1 ERA. You know, I mean, it's just a different look for
markets, fan bases, team brand. I could be wrong. The Braves might be ready to try it. I don't know, but they don't strike me as the type of team to do that. And there's not many that will, I don't think. You have to have, you know, a certain vibe and we'll see. It's going to be interesting, but
he's going to miss some time regardless, so they need to bring Duvall
back.
I'll
be shocked if he doesn't get suspended.
Yeah.
Cuz in the past it does not matter the criminal proceedings. There's been guys that weren't even charged
and still got suspended. Yeah.
Much less, and hardly any of them got convicted.
Yeah.
So, and this kind of falls in between somewhere there because he wasn't convicted, yet he entered this pretrial diversion thing. So it's kind of like a plea, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Last thing was Soler. We talked about the guys that wanted back next year, and I said, you know, Peterson, it's just – this guy's an all-around guy. It's like you said, he's a winner, and he's called Jocktober for a reason. I mean, his numbers in October with the – Dodgers in multiple pro seasons are huge, including the World Series, 3 World Series. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays the rest of the way and then in the postseason, assuming the Braves get there. But everybody likes the presence he has, the funny. He's funny. He's energizing. He's got a great personality. So, I mean, you can't go wrong bringing that guy back. The option's a lot higher or a little higher than Duvall's. And I don't know that Peterson would be as willing to take a little less to stay here. I don't know, you know. But Soler, this guy is a serious force, like I said. His past 44 games, including 35 since the trade to the Braves, he got it turned around late when he was with the Royals still. Visit with one of their hitting instructors that he worked real well with, I guess, apparently. Somebody, we wrote about that yesterday in The Athletic. Worked with him a little bit for getting a mechanical adjustment and before he got traded. So he got hot. He had a couple of two-homer games with the Royals. But he's continued that with the Braves. Past 44 games, including 35 with the Braves, this guy's hit .282, six doubles, 16 homers, 44 games, 26 walks, which is the thing that shocked me. 379 OBP, 613 slugging, and a 992 OPS. That's 44 games. That's over a quarter of the season.
You know, when you were rooting against the team he was on, I never felt good when he came up to bat, especially with a game on the line. And I think that just, he has that knack for getting big hits, and I don't think he feels the pressure other guys feel in those situations. He's been in them a ton. But I feel like he does have really good at-bats when the game's on the line, and that's something you can't really teach.
And here's a stat I had to look at twice to make sure this was right, but because the Royals went on a little bit of the spurt before he got traded. That was like the best ball they've played this year. But his teams in those 44 games, because he hasn't played every game with the Braves, almost every, but his teams in those 44 games are 31-13.
Damn.
That's pretty damn good. So anyway, all right, we're out of time on our self-imposed deadline here, but there'll be plenty more to talk about coming up. And like I've said before, I am close to 100% confident Freddie Freeman will get signed. I am 100%. Because I just can't see any way it doesn't get done. I think to get his extension done, and I think it'll probably get done probably before the season's over.
I hope you're right.
I know you have really your doubts.
No, I don't have necessarily doubts, but I mean, he's a month away from finding out what he's worth.
Well, they were real fair with, I know it's a lot less money, a lot less years, but they were really fair, I thought, with Charlie. As Charlie said, the final deal they offered was unreal. Even Charlie called it that, you know. Yeah. Charlie didn't expect to get a $5 million raise in his 20th year in pro ball. No. He'll make $5 million more than he's ever made. In his 20th year in pro ball.
Deserves it.
What were you doing in your 20th year of pro ball?
This.
Exactly.
Podcast.
So I think, but I think that's kind of a sign of they're not going to try to screw people over. They gave Darno some security, you know, he gave a little bit too for the security, but I think Freddie will get a fair offer. Sure, he can make more elsewhere, but Chipper could have done the same thing. And there's something to be said for, I was watching Wainwright get an interview this morning on MLB Network. Yeah. He had five kids hanging on. So I think three of them were in the room with him. Three little girls are in the room with him. He's got the whole family. They put down roots in St. Louis and they live there.
Yeah.
Freddie's got three kids now. For him to be able to know that for the next five, six, 7 years, he's going to have those kids in here for the whole season.
What school they're going to.
Yeah. There's something to be. Family guys is especially important. It's a little different than it is with single guys, you know, with no kids and all that.
And it's something to be said about wearing that same uni.
Yeah.
For your whole career. Sure. You know, I mean, if Freddie gets into the Hall of Fame, there's no debate on what hat he's wearing regardless. But to go to play your whole career with that one same jersey, one same team, I mean, it never gets done anymore. So that's pretty cool, too. I would want that if I was him.
And you saw those fans at the Jeter's Hall of Fame speech the other day. The crowd was like 75% Yankee fans.
Yeah.
And a lot of them took days off from work because it was in the middle of the week on a Wednesday afternoon, and that place still had a lot of people there. That's how important Jeter was to them, to their lives.
Yeah.
And I think you only get that when a guy stays with a team for a long time, if not his entire career. You know?
Yeah,
Chipper's got that in Atlanta.
Yep.
For the rest of his life in Atlanta. He's like that. You know, he's held in that regard. So not many guys like that. As much as they love Maddox in Atlanta, it's not the same thing.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
All right. We will talk again on Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
So big weekend coming up. Braves need to make hay against the Marlins. They won 2 out of 3 against the Nats. They need to win at least 2 out of 3 against the Marlins, and a sweep would be good. But they got a 3.5 game lead now. They just need to keep winning series, and they'll win this thing, this division, yep, for the 4th straight year.
Looking
tough
good.
Road trip coming up. Get an extra week out in San Francisco.
No good.
All right. Have a good day. Have a good weekend, everybody. 7:55 is real. We are out.